number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 145, where are we at in society? Looks like M&M's just got 2022'd. At 130, we select winners for this weekend's playoff games. I am already guaranteed to wear a mohawk, but can Chad claw his way back? And in mere minutes, we get you D-gens ready for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs with the great Brandon Lang. Live from Whitestone Brewery in Cedar Park, I am Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is back at the Horn Studio today. Sitting next to me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. WhitestoneBrewery.com. You can check out more info there. Their 6th anniversary party is tomorrow. Quick reminder, Texas men and women's basketball play at 1 o'clock tomorrow right here on the Horn. It is the men against Oklahoma State. That's also over at the Irwin Center if you want to go check them out. Texas women are in Fort Worth against TCU at 1 o'clock, and that's over on 105.3 The Bat, our sister station. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and talk to the one and only Brandon Lang. BrandonLang.com. He's the host of the Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. And last week, he told you to lay those points with Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, and Kansas City, bang, 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 and he told you he didn't like the matchup with San Francisco and Dallas. Yeah, that one didn't work out for the Cowboys, but he got that pick right. Brandon, how are you?
What's up, boys?
Man, I'm trying to get over it, Brandon. I'm a born and raised Cowboys fan who had the same feeling you did about that game. I knew the matchup was bad. I thought the Niners could get to running the ball, and the Cowboys weren't ready, and that's what happened. What would you tell me and all Cowboy fans today?
You know, it's like McCarthy said before the game, they looked nervous, and they played nervous, but you know, Mike McCarthy's getting a lot of the backlash, but Kellen Moore was his play calling was horrible, and a lot of people are putting the cart before the horse with Kellen Moore, and I think he should get a brunt of the blame. But listen, if you can't stop the run, you can't make plays. You're not going to advance in these playoffs, and it's just, that was a weird number, 3.5. You don't lose late in the season. Teams should be ascending. You shouldn't be losing at home to the Arizona Cardinals of the world late in the season. You look at the Niners, they're down 17-0 at the Rams and come back and win. Some teams are ascending, some teams aren't, and Dallas come back. And I also said on your show last week, Jerry Jones is cursed. He's just cursed. Call it whatever you want. But the NFL gods are a finicky bunch. When he hands you a plethora of talent that you should have won 6 Super Bowls with, and you only won 3, and you fired the coach that you would have won 6 with. So they haven't had much success since then. I hope it changes, but it doesn't look like it. With their salary cap issues and stuff they got going on, this was probably that window that's going to fade away.
Speaking of Kellen Moore, I think a guy who is a version of that, but at the head coach level, is Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. Is it starting to feel like to you that the Cardinals are going to be limited with regards to what they can maybe accomplish in the postseason as long as he is the head guy on the sidelines there?
I don't know if Cliff's going to be around for very much longer. Now, I know they were banged up, and losing DeAndre Hopkins, as it turned out, was a huge loss for them. They weren't the same team without him. I think next year is a make-or-break year for him. If they have a losing season, they don't make the playoffs, or if they struggle mid-season, he's gone. It may be the first axe to fall next year if they struggle out of the box. But if they definitely don't make the playoffs last year with that talent, he'll be gone. And listen, people can jump on Kyler Murray all they want, but I've said this a million times before. If you can't protect your quarterback in the NFL, they're going to look awful. That goes for Tom Brady. That goes for Aaron Rodgers. Every elite quarterback in the NFL, if they have time, they're going to be fine. If they don't, they're going to look ugly. That's just the way the NFL is.
Yep, Kyler Murray's feet get going quick, and there is a reason why.
Yep.
Brandon Lang joining us as he does every Friday. All right, Brandon, let's dig in here. We'll go chronologically. Cincinnati and Tennessee, the reports are that Derrick Henry will be activated and looks to start in the game. What do you think? Tennessee 3.5 is what I'm looking at here.
By the half. Lay 3 with the Titans. One word for you. blowout.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals allowed Joe Burrows to be sacked more than any quarterback in the NFL. That pass rush in Nashville on Saturday is coming. There's two Cajun ribeyes from Morton's in that backfield, and you got five pit bulls. Go get you some. I just think it's a bad matchup for Cincinnati. Give them credit. They won their playoff game. They looked very ugly doing it. They don't get the inadvertent whistle. Who knows what happens in that game? I felt the Raiders outplayed them, but they got the home win. Now they're going on the road. They can't protect their quarterback against the number one seed that's well-rested, and Mike Vrabel, with 8 days or more to prepare his team to play football, or it's 9 days, 9 days or more to prepare his team for football, he's a perfect 8-0 straight up, 8-0 against the spread. He's from the Belichick tree. You can't give him time. Bad matchup for Cincinnati. And listen, Zach Taylor got the win. Give him credit. Congratulations. He's 17-33 as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Give me the Titans by double digits.
It feels like both of the Saturday games have blowout potential. Brandon, what do you think about Green Bay, San Francisco with the Packers as 5.5-point favorites?
So the Niners became my best bet on the website on Sunday. And I'll say it again. If you go back and look at the box score of the Cleveland-Green Bay game, and you look at the stats, you would swear to God Cleveland won that game by two touchdowns. They dominated Green Bay. But because Baker Mayfield threw 127 interceptions in that game, they didn't win. So when you break down, the Niners are an upgraded version of that. I'll say it again. You can't get blown out in the NFL by any team if you have the ability to run the football on them. And the only way you get blown out is if you turn the ball over, is if you lose the turnover battle. And so I expect the Niners to go in here. Look at Green Bay for the year. They haven't really blew the doors off anyone good. Any good team they've played has been a close game. They've played close games. They win them because Aaron Rodgers makes more plays. So you're giving me 5.5 with a Niners team that is going to run the football. I believe the Browns ran for 240 on Green Bay in Green Bay. So I'll take the 5.5. Not a game I love, but gun to my head, I'm going to roll with the Niners again this week plus the 5.5.
There you go. Talking with Brandon Lang again. BrandonLang.com, host of the Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. Brandon, on Sunday, it will start with the Rams and the Bucks. Injuries on the Bucks side of it. Rams looking real good in dismantling Arizona. Bucks by 3 at home. What do you think?
Okay, it's down to 2.5. Solid everywhere.
Okay, all right.
You're going to find out that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home aren't the Arizona Cardinals on the road. And Tom Brady isn't Kyler Murray. So let's just work off that platform right there. Now let's go to number 2. Sometimes in this business, when you're betting on a game, you ask yourself, when the game ends and I've lost my money, will I feel better losing my money with Tom Brady in a near pick'em game, laying 2.5? Or will I feel good losing my money with Matthew Stafford? In other words, I'm going to lose with Tom Brady before I try to win with Matthew Stafford. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I got
every
a guy
day.
That's won, I got a guy that's won 10,569 playoff games and 7 Super Bowls against a guy that's won 1 playoff game. It's a 2.5 number. So if Matthew Stafford goes in here, plays the game of his life, outplays the GOAT, and wins, I got no problem losing money on that. I got no problem at all. I've learned you do not go against Tom Brady when he's laying a manageable number. One, it's value. You're getting an incredible value. And two, it's value you don't see very often. You bet the value in the better quarterback at the end of the day.
There you go.
That may be the best argument I've ever heard Brandon put forth with regards to why he's taking one team in a game. And you know what? It just swayed my pick, too.
There you go.
No longer on the Rams.
You're darn right.
All right, Brandon. The last game of the weekend is arguably the one with the most intrigue. It also has the closest line. That is the Bills at the Chiefs. Will Buffalo go into Arrowhead and pull off the upset on Sunday night?
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. They're the only team of the eight teams left. They're the only team with a top five offense and a top five defense, and they have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. So I can't go against that. I think after that Monday night game of against the Patriots where they lost and Mac Jones threw three times, they were inside the Patriot 15-yard line, I think five or six times, and came away with one touchdown. I think Brian Dambo readjusted everything the Bills did offensively and changed what they did. He's using Josh Allen a lot like the way the Ravens use Lamar Jackson. And so when you have to defend something like that, the strain it puts on your defense, I'll say it again, good teams have shredded this Chiefs defense. And although I think it'll be a high-scoring game, at the end of the day, I just think Buffalo is the better team. And at this point in the playoffs, I got to go with the better team. By the half point, get three with the Bills, rock and roll.
There you go. All right, Brandon, before we let you go, college basketball definitely underway. We know it's one of your passions. Any comment on college hoops before we let you go? Any trends you're seeing, anything you love so far in college basketball?
I'll tell you what, date number St. Bonaventure Tuesday, Rutgers over Iowa Wednesday. Last night I had Indiana plus 3.5 over Purdue. They're down 24 seconds to go. Kid shoots a three. If he misses it, you know they're going to foul. Purdue's going to hit two free throws. I'm going to be down 4. Now I need a three or a layup or some nonsense to get the back door. But guess what? The kid hits the three. They go up by 1, and they pull off the upset for B. Lang. So we have heated up in college football. I think we're 9-2 my last 11. Listen. Keep jumping on your boy Shaka Smart's Marquette Warriors. Boys, what he did going into Villanova plus 13.5, they blew the doors off a 13-1 Providence team by 30. He has assembled a group that can play. Start making money with Marquette. And again, I'll say this to you again. Find home dogs that are winning in college basketball and ride them to the bank.
There you go. Check out BrandonLang.com. Check out the best damn sports betting pod, period. And obviously, check out those divisional games this week. Brandon, we appreciate it, brother. We'll talk championship games next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Great
Brandon.
Stuff as always. Brandon Lang. So he swayed you, huh? He pulled you off the Rams?
I mean, he could have just said Stafford versus Brady, okay, losing money if Stafford actually outplays Brady, and that would have been it.
He had to throw in the Tom Brady is not Kyler Murray line. I think that's the one that really solidified the point.
That was incredible.
Incredible. Who do you trust in a big moment? One of those guys. We will definitely talk some more divisional games coming up here at 1:30. We will see if Brandon Lang was able to sway any of us one way or the other. I'm going to have to get a little aggressive with Zay to try to catch him. I'm down 3 with 7 to go. Trey is down 11 with 7 to go, which means he's got to wear that mohawk.
Yep.
Trey's going to pick it out to the end to see just how far back he'll be because you're a glutton for punishment. Is that what it is?
Pretty much.
You're not going to, I mean, geez, if you're going to do that, you might as well just let Zay punch you right in the face at the end of it.
I mean, I'm aiming for 15 games out of first place by the time it's all said and done, Chad. I may be able to get there if this goes 2 more weeks.
All right.
Based on how bad I am.
I just thought of a strange question. Imagine a pain scale for you. You know your own pain scale from 1 to 10. 1 is, I'm tough. And 10 is excruciating, I might die pain. How much pain do you think you'd experience if Isaiah, full power, hit you with a right cross on your jaw?
In my face?
Right on your jaw. Perfect line, right on the off button.
On the jaw, okay.
Right on the off button. How painful do you think that would be?
That'd be a 10.
Yeah.
Because it'd probably break my jaw if he hit me right.
Zay, would you concur with that?
Yeah, probably. I would say I have a nice little hook like Mike Tyson. It's impeccable, baby. Oh. I mean, what are you talking about? What are you saying?
I never knew I was going to get a Mike Tyson impersonation, but now I'm so glad I brought it up.
Please pick your games with the Tyson impersonation.
Yeah, if you could. I want you to pick the games not only as Mike Tyson, but if you could make the pick you think Mike Tyson would make, that could help me out. That might help me out as well. NFL divisional round coming up. So while we have a minute here, Trey, let's just go over a couple of the names. We're going to go over a couple of the injury stuff as we go through it. Wait, we're coming up on a break, and Tom McKay's calling.
Oh,
in.
Come on. Get him on.
We got an audible. Tom McKay, audio-visual consultations. What's up, brother?
Hey, two things real quick. First off, I don't know Zay well, but I've seen him, and no, he can't punch anybody. He'd kill you.
Agreed.
It would hurt.
Second thing, it was just interesting listening to Brandon Lang here. He's talking about Marquette basketball and how now Shaka's got a team that, you know, now he can win and blah, blah, blah. And Chris Beard seems, not saying Chris Beard won't do great, but he seems to be struggling. What about Texas culture cannot win? I don't understand this.
It's a great question, Tom.
Interesting point, yeah.
I don't follow college basketball closely enough to know that Shaka Smart has just accomplished some of the things that Brandon Lang laid out. But that question immediately went through my head. Like, why didn't we see more of that in Texas over 6 years?
I think with Shaka, it's like the matchup between the coach and a certain style of player, a certain type of team. The question is, why couldn't you have a blue-collar, nasty, junkyard team?
Right. Why didn't he bring those players in while he was here? I mean, is the administration fighting allowing these players in? I don't get it.
Right. That's really, that may be the issue behind the scenes that Texas is having to deal with, Tom. That's an interesting question. Everything all right in your world?
Everything is wonderful. Zay, don't punch him, please.
I won't, Tom, unless if he ticks me off. I might have to.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Thank you, Tom.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, no, don't go doing that.
It's the Icarus Challenge. How close can I get to the sun without my wings melting off or being punched off, as it were?
Our next bit is not Isaiah punching you. We can't do that. We cannot afford that on many, many levels. I mentioned earlier Derrick Henry is going to get activated. Trey, this is the group of people that didn't practice yesterday for the Bucs. Jensen, Wirfs, Jones, Fournette, and Perryman. All didn't practice. Limited practice. Gio Bernard, Murphy Bunting, and Lavonte David.
The reason why I initially and honestly may still pick the Rams when it's all said and done next segment, Chad, is because of the injury issues specifically on the offensive line. When you throw some of those other guys in, though, that is a serious hindrance.
Yeah.
Even if it is Tom Brady on the other side.
Yeah, not just bringing it up because I'm a Bucs fan and I'm wearing the shirt right now. They are easily the team with the most big injury stuff now. In terms of these teams left, they're definitely the team you got to be watching those injuries for more than any other. And you know who seems to be one of the healthy ones? The Rams do. Rams and Bills are pretty damn healthy going into this game.
That's true.
That's another reason you got to be concerned if you're rooting for the Bucs.
It's going so well for the Rams right now that even Von Miller has somehow returned to old form.
Yeah, and he looks like that Von Miller again.
He does.
And that's bad news for Tom Brady, especially if Wirfs is not playing in that.
100%.
All that comes together, that could be a bad moment for number 12 of the Bucs. We'll talk more NFL coming up. Our picks are coming up. The Coors Light six-pack picks hit the divisional round. I'm only three back of Isaiah. I've got to get aggressive. Now the question is, which game do I not get aggressive on? We'll find out coming up. We're at Whitestone Brewery here on Whitestone Boulevard out in Cedar Park. Come see us. And if you can't get out here today, be sure to get out here tomorrow for their sixth anniversary celebration. More coming up on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Uh-oh. Wow.
What? Am I not supposed to be?
No, go right ahead.
Singing the lyrics of this song? It's a good song for Spice Girls.
There you go. I'm glad one of us could identify it.
I don't remember the lyrics, but this is an earworm for me.
Zay, be honest. How, back in the day, how much Spice Girls did you own? How much of the music did you own?
I didn't own much. I knew of all the songs. I had the video game for PlayStation 1. I don't know why I had that game. I think it came with something. But, yeah, this is Legendary Women. Come on now.
What was the video game?
It was before Dance Dance Revolution, where you just press the buttons and they make certain moves if you press the buttons at the right time. That's basically what it was.
Yeah, you're trying to emulate the dancing of the ladies.
Exactly.
Is what it was. Yeah. I gotcha.
So if you're just going with all female acts, multiple people in the band have to be all female, you think the Spice Girls have sold more than anybody? I mean, it's not a massively long list.
Yeah, because that was the boy band era. There weren't a ton of girl bands, and they were hugely popular. I mean, you had the Pussycat Dolls.
That was later on, right? There's no way they sold more than the Spice Girls did.
Like, could the Bangles may have sold more albums in the 80s?
Bangles and obviously the Go-Go's were selling records, but I don't know. I don't know if they would have been on that level. I'm guessing the Spice Girls are on top of that list. So we've had Spice Girls, Cream, and Red Hot Chili Peppers
today. Which Spice Girl were you?
I was kind of a half scary, half posh guy. I like both.
Okay.
Scary if I'm outdoors, need a workout. And then posh if I need to go to a party. There was the classy one and the I need somebody to get in a fight for me.
I love how you went Love Child of two, because I have to do the same thing. I was half ginger, half baby Spice.
Oh, you're a ginger baby guy. Okay, fair enough. That's fair enough. That was an attractive act, there's no doubt.
Which Spice Girl were you, Zay?
Black Spice. Oh, my bad, Mel B, my bad.
Exactly. That's the one, right. I could have said Mel B as well.
I believe her name was Scary Spice.
Scary Spice, sir. What's the name?
My bad. I mean, you asked me.
Here's how interested. This is how much of a fan of hers I am. When she became a judge for a little while on America's Got Talent, I started watching that show.
All right.
Not so much of a fan I was of hers. Plus, you get to watch Heidi Klum a little bit. Not bad.
She was such a big deal that she dated Eddie Murphy for a little bit.
Did she?
Yep.
Oh, good for her. That accent is just priceless for me. God, it's just so sexy. All right, shout out to the Spice Girls. Shout out to Isaiah. He's producing today. What I hope he's not doing is producing great picks. It is time for the Coors Light six-pack picks, and we get to the divisional round. We've got four games. I am three down with seven to go. Trey's going to pick just to get to the end here. He's got to wear the mohawk, and I'm going to see if I can make up any ground on Isaiah here.
So disgusted with myself that I'm already this far out of things.
It is. It's distinct now. It is distinct. 11 games back is tough. All right, let's start, fellas, with Cincinnati and Tennessee. Isaiah, Brandon Lang just talked the people over to the Titans side. Did he talk you to the Titans side?
Y'all know how I feel about Joe Burrow, man, and I don't like your guy Ryan Tannehill, Chad, but Derrick Henry coming back changes things, so I'm going to go with the Titans outright.
Gonna have to go with the going with them outright. All right, this will be the one where I have got to go with Isaiah. I had to pick one of these games.
Wow.
I had to pick one. I think this is the no-doubter. I think this is the no-brainer. I agree with Brandon. I think they're gonna put it on Cincinnati. So I'm gonna have to go with Isaiah on this one, but I think it may be the only one.
Yeah, Cincinnati's linebackers are not very good, especially against the run. That's a problem against Tennessee in general, but especially with Derrick Henry coming back.
Right. If I have to tune in to watch Derrick Henry and that defensive line do what I think they're gonna do, and I have picked Cincinnati, I'll feel stupid.
Give me Joey B. and the Bengals to win.
Oh, there you go.
If not, they'll at least cover.
All right, Trey's going to take Cincinnati. All right, how about San Francisco and Green Bay? Mr. Lang was leaning towards the San Francisco side. Isaiah, what do you think?
Hell to the no, I'm going with Green Bay. That thumb in that cold for Garoppolo, not looking good, my friend. Green Bay all the way.
Green Bay. All right. Both because I got to go different than Isaiah at some point and because the San Francisco win would help me if the Bucs can handle their business. I'll go with San Francisco, especially +5.5. That means even if Green Bay gives me one of those normal close wins of theirs, I still get the win. I'm going to go San Francisco, Trey.
That's interesting. I assumed that would be the game that you would go same with Zay.
It was going to be, and then I realized as I'm thinking about it, and then I heard Brandon talk, I'm like, no, that one to me is more certain to cover that number. So I went Tennessee.
See, I feel that way about the Packers.
Okay.
I mean, they are going to kick the you-know-what out of San Francisco.
So you're going Packers.
Yeah.
All right. Sunday it is, the Rams and the Bucks. Isaiah, Bucks at home. Brandon said 2.5, but we're going to pick this at 3 because that's where I saw it early. Unless y'all want to go 2.5.
Let's go 2.5. Let's put the hook there.
You want to go hook? Okay, yeah. All right. We'll go hook. Isaiah's throwing the hook on. 2.5 Tampa Bay. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm never, ever, 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 as Chris Tucker says on Friday, will go against Tom Brady.
Yeah, that is probably a good play. I will have to be aggressive and go with the Rams plus 2.5. But obviously, I hope I'm wrong. I will say though, my gut tells me that the Bucs are losing this game. So I'm going to take the Rams. I think they're going to win it outright.
I feel like this is a year for the Rams to capitalize, even not being as good at quarterback because Tampa is so injured. Even if those linemen play, they're not going to be close to 100%. That is going to make a big difference. This is going to be a low-scoring game, and I think that really plays well into the Rams not only being able to hang but winning outright, which they will.
All right. Trey's got the feeling, too. Isaiah's on the Bucs side. That means Bucs by 17. Thank you, Trey. I am so excited.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm trying to play cooler. For your
That's
pick.
Awesome. Very good. And finally, Buffalo at Kansas City. It's darn near a pick 'em. It's down to Kansas City by 1.5. Isaiah, who do you like?
You know they hung that Stephon Diggs picture on the wall where he's looking at the Chiefs celebrating going to the Super Bowl last year. They've been thinking about this game all year. Josh Allen's been playing terrific. Bills all the way. Let's jump through that damn table.
Going through the bit with the Bills Mafia and burning tables. Overall in the game, I think Isaiah's right. I think Buffalo's going to win that. I think Kansas City and Tampa are both going to lose this week, but I will take the Chiefs to be different from Zay because I got to make a little move. So I will once again go opposite him. I'll go Kansas City minus 1.5.
Interesting. Okay, give me the Bills to win outright.
Win Bills. All right.
With Zay's logic there, and I think that Buffalo having a better answer at running back right now is going to end up making at least a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, I decided I got to go three different, one the same, and so I'm going to stay the same with Tennessee but go different on the other. So those are our picks, the Coors Light six-pack picks. By the time we get back on Monday, it could be official that I have to wear the Mohawk. Coming up tomorrow, I'll get another video out there on the Facebook page. I appreciate Trey and Isaiah and people at the office trying to tell me that the beard is not that bad. But it's the people that I know the best. It's my wife. It's my daughter that are looking me dead in the face every day like, good Lord, that's just scruffy and gruffy and awful. But I'm not even halfway through this yet. This is 3 weeks. And so next Saturday is when I'm going to be at the halfway point. I got to grow out for 2 months and then wear the Mohawk for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Trey, also, here's the other thing. My head is huge to start with. I have like a 7 3/4 head. Uh-huh. So when you take this Caucasian mushroom that grows on top of my head, because it's all going to grow evenly here, right? I'm not going to style this as it grows out. I'm just going to go more and more like Phil Spector on this thing as it goes. I'm going Art Garfunkel on you guys.
Well, it's not
going
to get that long, though.
No, it's not going to get that long, but it's going to have that shape. I'm going to look like somebody's, you know, high school English teacher back in the 90s with that, you know, that helmet of hairsprayed hair.
You are going to have a little bit of the helmet look going on.
I'm going to look like Estelle Getty from the Golden Girls years.
The beard continues to look good if you choose to clean up the neck a little bit. You don't even need to clean up the neck a ton.
I did a little of the bottom one day, but that's about all I've done.
Okay, so that's why it looks a little bit lighter. So if you keep it at that, I think that you've gotten the, like, how far down the neck it's going, uh-huh, correct. The next time you run a razor over that bottom part, run a little bit of a razor over, like, the bottom of the cheek there.
The bottom of the cheek.
The bottom of the cheekbone.
Oh,
because you've got some hair, like, growing, like, close to nostril level. That stuff you probably can get rid of.
My daughter started noticing those first, and you're right. I've done a little trimming on, like, the apples of the cheeks
even
or whatever.
A little bit below that.
Little rogue hairs going on all the place. I got some more of these hairs that are coming out of my face, trying to head into my nose.
Yeah.
It's a mess. It's a total mess. You see these? You see those?
It looks like you have it looks like there's like one bunch of hairs that's almost more pubic than it is facial.
All right. There's no need to say those kind of things and make it even worse. But it's unruly. Let's just say that. It is unruly. This is what I do.
It's not a bad look for you, though.
You
cut yourself down on this, but it looks good.
I appreciate
you just
that.
Look like an alcoholic version of Rick Carlisle.
Oh, man.
Wow. That is the best description I've heard so far. I thought he was going to say John Kitna, because I've gotten to John Kitna before. He thinks I look like Rick Carlisle on a bender.
Oh, Zay is on it today.
See, the one thing I like about this is it's giving me full rein to be lazy.
Yeah.
Because I like lazy.
Yeah.
You know me, especially when it comes to looks and clothes. I love lazy. So this is just me going, hey, I lost a bet. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's a big part of it for me. When I started growing the beard out, it's that, and even if I were in my like an anorexic state, I would still have a little bit of the double chin.
Right.
So I know now that I look the best with a beard, and so the laziness factor gets to come into play every day for me, except once or twice a year. I'll shave the beard, and now I am strictly doing it to freak my kids out. Because the last time I did it, my kids were horrified.
Yeah, oh, that's got to be scary. Yeah, when the kids aren't used to that, too, younger kids especially,
right.
You can really freak them out. So two things. You are right that my big nose is helping to shade the middle where I'm not growing the mustache.
So
that helped out.
Sorry for saying that yesterday.
No, you're absolutely right. So I'm going to stop mentioning that because you're right. My nose actually helped me for the first time.
Yeah, even looking right now, it's still hard to see.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
But secondly and most importantly, let's keep mentioning until it's done that Isaiah would have to shave his face for the first time in over 10 to 15 years if I can just catch him. So I need everybody to root for Tennessee, San Francisco, Kansas City, and the Rams to cover their respective numbers, because if we can turn it around, Isaiah's got to go baby face, clean shaven. Apparently it'll freak his wife out because she's never seen him that way. When they met, he had the facial hair. She has no idea. It could totally freak her out. That's what I'm rooting for.
You're angling for a divorce here.
Did I say divorce?
No can do, compadre. Everybody is rooting against you this weekend.
Oh,
we want this
God.
To be set right. in stone by the time we get back on the air on Monday.
Fair enough. And by the way, my answer to the question of how much pain would I go through if Isaiah full-on punched me in the face, it might surprise you. I think my pain level would be like a 5, 5.5. It's just that I would wake up 5 days later. I think it would completely put me in the hospital for like a half a week for sure.
Yeah, but then you realize that your jaw is wired shut.
Yes.
And you're in the beginning stages of an opioid addiction.
Like, I think I would feel the punch. There'd be like a fuzz about it. And then like 6 days later, I'd wake up in the hospital. Isaiah would be over the bed going, "Hey, Chad, hey, you back? Hey, man, you all right? You good? I kind of hit you hard, didn't I?" Yeah, I mean, that.
And then as you start to come to and you're like, "Yeah, I think I'm okay," Zay would lean straight into your face and say, "Are you sorry now, B?
Are you sorry now?" Oh, my God. All right, Isaiah, producer for us today, which means we got more cool music coming up for you. We also have another degenerate coming up for you. What does Sammy P think of these divisional round games? We will get his thoughts on it coming up. He is a betting analyst for Nesson. We visit with him Fridays about 2:05. Up next, though, it's Where Are We At in Society time. Something else is getting the 2022 treatment. Oh, say it isn't so. One of our favorite candies of all time, M&M's. Trey's going to explain coming up. We are at Whitestone Brewery here on Whitestone Boulevard in Cedar Park. Come on out and see us. This is The Horn.
You know, the finer things in life.
Shirts and skins.
Ooh, that dress so scandalous. And you know I never couldn't handle it. So you're shaking that thing. Cruise the ish with the look in your eyes so devilish.
Trey,
you like to dance on the
you want to take this one? I think I know. I think I've got this one.
This is Cisco, right?
That was my guess. There it is. Yes. The Thong Song by Cisco.
This song is so catchy. So catchy.
I mean, okay, Isaiah, I apologize for having not asked you this before.
Let me see that now. Ba-da-ba. Oh, man. Yo, yeah. Drew Hill wasn't ready for this. He had to leave them fools for this. Had to.
Oh, my God. Cisco, Mount Rushmore of rap or not? Let's just get down to it.
Mount Rushmore?
I'm going to go with a no.
Going to go with no.
Yeah.
Solid no. Yeah.
Yo, he's on the rocks.
No.
He's on the rocks that you have to get up to get to Mount Rushmore.
Right, exactly. So in terms of his impact, Isaiah, does he ultimately end up just being a one-hit wonder with that one, or were there a couple other hits that at least mixed in?
Well, you have to remember his Drew Hill career with his other bandmates. He's made love songs for years, so Cisco's a legend.
Right. Okay.
And after that Unleash the Dragon album, which was a classic, he had other classics on there, but yeah, Thong Song... Yeah, that was his claim to fame.
Yeah. And let's face it, the video, hard to forget. Hard to forget. You remember the video, right?
Oh, well, I mean,
come on.
It played into the title of the song.
Whew. Like, the people that were making videos for, you know, making videos for like 2 Live Crew probably thought those were really good videos. I mean, that was, they went all the way. That was fantastic. That was one of MTV's best moments.
Yeah, that was an era where videos were getting away with a lot.
Yeah, they were.
And that they may still be in this day and age. But I guess in terms of like a certain machismo-ness that is no longer as allowed, and understandably so too, by the way.
And see, that's why we need to go back to the old days of videos for one key thing. We need to be back to making more videos, but also I need more late night versions of videos. We used to have the video and then the video that could run after 9 o'clock. I need that again because there's so much filth now allowed after 9 o'clock in terms of language and content. We need to start pushing that envelope. Somebody make a new MTV channel. And let's get this going.
That's a great idea.
Yes, that's what we need.
That's a $1 million idea right there. Well
done. Yo, Chad, what you know about BET Uncut?
See, there you
go. Oh, so it already exists.
It used to.
Oh, that's what we need. We need more of that. We need all of it uncut after a certain time. That is what we need. Because the other night my wife turned on MTV2 that's supposed to be running videos, and it was a movie. Just some random movie.
It was only a matter of time before the channel that MTV rededicated to music stopped doing the music videos.
And it's a movie I like, by the way. It was Airheads, but who cares? Like, it's MTV, too. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's kind of a music movie, but it's not playing music videos.
Brother. All right.
So they don't have to pay a VJ for 2 hours.
You're right.
Right?
That's exactly what it is. We are out here at Whitestone today, out in Trey's neck of the woods at one of his favorite places, Whitestone Brewery. We got a little hop water going on. I've tried the Keyboard Gangsta IPA. They got a lot of different choices for you. They got new beers that are going to debut tomorrow. We've got the cans right here in front. If you're watching on the Twitch stream, you see it. The I Like Turtles is going to be one of the ones that's debuted. Trey, are you noticing the alcohol by volume on these bad boys?
Yeah, these barrel-aged Imperial Stouts tend to be a little bit higher in that regard.
Well, I want to make sure you bring your D&D tomorrow. On 11 spot?
You want a score, which is bourbon barrel-aged Imperial Stout with chocolate marshmallows and graham crackers. Damn, that sounds good.
That is the wonderful thing about...
That is an 11.0.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing about craft beer, man. It ain't messing around. They can get the... they can have all kinds of beers just punching you in the head. So get on out here tomorrow. Bring some friends. Make sure you bring your DD or get your rideshare set up. Have yourself a good time. 6th anniversary party out here at the Whitestone Brewery tomorrow. All right, let's get into where we at in society. I'm not going to like this story at all.
Where are we at in society today?
Yeah, Chad, M&M's have decided to, 2022, some of the popular characters that they've been using in ads for a long time now, they've gotten a makeover for what Mars, which is the company that owns M&M's, is calling a more dynamic, progressive world. Their redesign of these characters are focused on creating a sense of belonging and community, as well as spotlighting the characters' personalities rather than gender. The most notable changes, because there's 5 different characters right now.
Okay,
right?
No, I had no clue, but sure.
Green, brown, yellow, orange, red maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Well, they're all having something done to their character or persona.
We're tweaking them up.
We'll start with the one that I think of first when I think of the M&M characters. That is the green. Because she's got attitude.
Right.
She wears the go-go boots.
And maybe they made the green one the female because of the whole green M&M's legend.
What was the green M&M's legend?
That green M&M's make you horny.
Oh, wow.
You didn't have that when you were a kid?
Never heard that.
No? Okay.
It must have been a Waxahachie
just
thing.
Just a Waxahachie thing then.
For us, it was the blue.
Oh, the blue. Okay. See, we went with the green.
It also helped you hit home runs, too, if you were in T-ball.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So the green is the one that is going to get the most attention from people who look at this story. Her redesign, which will see her exchange the white-heeled go-go boots that she was given in 1997 when these characters were created.
Uh-huh.
Instead of, she's going to be wearing cool, laid-back sneakers to reflect her effortless confidence.
Oh, my God.
The green M&M, according to Mars, will also be better represented to reflect confidence and empowerment. A strong female who is known for much more than her boots.
She wasn't confident before?
I mean, she was the sassiest of the bunch.
I thought she was fine on confidence.
The green M&M and the brown M&M who is also identified up to this point as female, are also going to have more of a friendly relationship, Chad.
Aww.
You see, the two characters throughout these ads have sometimes been at odds with one another. But M&M's wants to show that that's not how women treat each other. They're totally cool, too, so they're going to have more cool moments. And I'm wondering if they're eventually going to shift this into a much more complicated relationship that goes beyond the basic friendship.
Ah, are you saying they're going to go from M&Ms that fight to maybe M&Ms that date?
We could have lesbian M&Ms, which, look, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But M&M needs to be careful about the direction that they're trying to take things in, because they could find themselves in another trap if they're not careful.
If they do that, I'll eat those M&Ms while watching Wild Things.
So the Proud, hopefully they get Bill Murray in that commercial. Actually,
Heck, hopefully, yes.
They don't. I do not want to see Bill Murray in an M&Ms commercial. So the brown M&M has also had high heels up to this point. They're going to lower the brown M&M's heels to be a more professional heel height, according to Mars. The orange M&M.
Wow.
We're getting
to the guys now, right? The orange is a guy.
I think so.
I think orange is a guy. And a dumb one, I think. I think orange is the dumb M&M.
Wow, how dare you? You need to apologize to people with anxiety, because this article is saying the orange M&M, who has always had an anxious personality, will embrace his true self.
Oh, my
worries
God.
Worries and all.
Is he going to go to the therapist?
The orange M&M shoelaces will now be tied to represent his cautious nature.
Oh, my God.
According to Mars, the orange M&M is one of the most relatable characters with Gen Z.
Who's
which
his
is an anxious generation.
Who's his therapist? The Red Skittle? What are we doing?
So I'm glad you mentioned Red Skittle. Red M&M.
The Red M&M? What's he doing
the
or
next
she doing?
One that is getting a personality change.
All right.
In the past, the Red M&M has shown bully tendencies. He's going to be more kind to his co-characters.
Oh,
now.
Nicer red.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay.
So M&M and Mars are also going to include imagery of M&Ms of all shapes and sizes, moving away from the one body type mantra. And it's also going to remove the prefixes from the characters' names in order to focus on their personalities rather than their gender.
We're getting plus size M&Ms, is that what you're
That's
telling
That's right.
Me?
The company, Chad, hopes their changes will show the importance of self-expression and power of community.
All right. I don't often play the blank, comma, then you're an idiot card, but I'm about to play it. If you cared about any level of this story, you're an idiot. Both sides. Both sides. If you and your children and your lives were impacted by the gender roles of M&Ms, you're an idiot. And if you are concerned about the gender roles that we're putting on M&Ms as I'm about to watch a movie, you're an idiot. They're M&Ms. If you know their names, you just need to change your whole life if this actually mattered to you.
This is such a wonderful example of just how out of touch the corporate mindset is with regards to what people truly care about. Because you're absolutely right. I mean, you have to be a complete loser to have cared about this one way or the other. Like, if you're getting some sense of pride because, well, at least the M&Ms still have genders. Good Lord, man.
Right.
And if you're that offended by it, get a freaking grip.
Like, the next time you go to the movies, if you see all these gender roles redone and the boots turned into shoes, and you look over at your wife and you go, okay, now I'm good with M&Ms. Right now, I'm good with it. Now we can raise our children in this movie theater, honey. We did a good thing here.
The only thing I'll say... Because the Draft House, as much as I love it, tends to be a bit hyper-woke at times. Maybe the Draft House will start carrying M&Ms and other candies once again. Because
we need
the Draft
to
House needs to do that. I don't know why that has gone away in the last 2 years. That is one of the foundational foods of the movie viewing experience. I get it. You serve great burgers and pizzas and appetizers on tap and cocktails that the bartenders are mixing. Give us our damn candy back.
See, I think
Draft House.
I disagree with you in this way. I think Draft House needs to go the other way. They need to have 5 gallon buckets full of the candy and just say free because we know you're sneaking it in anyway.
I don't want people digging their grubby hands into the peanut M&Ms before I get my scoop.
As long as the peanut M&Ms are feeling good about themselves and their gender roles, that's all I care about. Oh my God.
Well, their body type is more accepted now.
That's true. That is true. M&M's getting the 2022 treatment. Be careful. Hopefully it will get fixed so we can all go on with our lives. 2 o'clock hour coming up. Sammy P, betting analyst for Nesson. What does he think of the division round games? We will find out. Plus, at 2:30, we'll get into why January 21st matters to us. We've got those two big, sad deaths in the world of entertainment. We'll get into those again. Also, some big birthdays in sports and entertainment to hit today. All that's coming up. We're at Whitestone Brewery on Whitestone Boulevard here in Cedar Park in Trey's neck of the woods. We'll tell you more about what they've got going on this weekend coming right up on the Horn.
Football.